What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning into the Producers Corner with Spud Too Tight, and I have another hot show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very talented and gifted bass player who has worked with some of the biggest names in the music business, such as Justin Timberlake, Peebo Bryson, Kirk Whalum, Phil Perry, and Karen Briggs. He's also collaborated with Kirk Whalum to create the soundtrack for a documentary film with Bill Gates, Melinda Gates, and Bill Clinton, which was called Miss HIV. Please put your hands together and welcome bassist and composer Anthony Crawford. What's happening, Anthony?
What's up, Spud?
Hey.
What's up, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing good.
I've been meaning to tell you this. Spud is a... That's a great kind of... That's a hip name, Spud Too Tight.
I've been meaning to tell you that for a minute, man.
That's a hip name, dude.
Oh, thanks, man. You know, I can't take credit for the full name of Spud Too Tight, man. You know, there are actually two names that I've used. Spud's my family nickname, you know, just grew up and it stuck with me for the past 36 years. And Too Tight came from my production company, Too Tight Productions. And yeah, man, and a local journalist that did a story on me back in 2008 just kind of put the two names together. So I was like, Spud Too Tight, man. When I saw it on the newspaper, I'm like, okay, I'll roll with it. So,
wow. Yeah, so it's got kind of a history behind it. But, yeah, man, that's dope, man.
Oh, appreciate it, Anthony. But, man, thank you for coming to my show, Anthony. Man, from one musician to another, I got to take my hat off to you. Man, you have some fire dynamics
man,
as a bass
thanks.
Player.
Thanks, dude. Thanks. That means a lot. Actually, that means a lot coming from another musician.
Well, everyone who listens to my show, man, I'm a fan of everybody, man. And, you know, I kind of just consider myself a student of music and remain a student of music because I'm always in a learning process. Even after 22 years, man, I'm just in that constant, you know, learning new things, new chops, you know, technology side, man. But, you know, it's not every day that I get a chance to talk to seasoned musicians like yourself, man. So hats off to you, bro.
Thanks a lot, man. I'm very honored, very blessed, man, to even be on your show. Like, it's a great honor.
Oh, man. Thank you. You know, Anthony, some of the things that come to my mind when I hear as a bass player, man, you know, some of the tracks like Rhythm Unifies, Satisfies, Don't Stop the Music. You know, there's a couple of other seasoned bass players that really trigger my memory and has a lot of similarities to your style, man, like Wayman Tinsdale, Stanley Clark. You got your Victor Wooten attacks in there. Your dynamics as a player is just phenomenal, man.
Thanks a lot, man. Dude, thanks. Because actually, it's funny you call those names because they are the players that have inspired me over the years. Wayman is a big inspiration. Actually, the whole day Saturday, I was listening to a lot of Wayman Tisdale CDs because I have like a big collection of his music because he's like a great inspiration, man. And Vic is like, you know, anybody who plays bass, you know, is probably inspired by Vic some kind of way. You know, because he kind of started a whole revolution of bass players.
Right.
You know, yeah. So Vic is a very big inspiration. The same is for Stanley Clark. Stanley Clark is a very big inspiration to me, and he's an inspiration to Victor Wooten as well.
Right.
You know, yeah, man. So thanks a lot, man. I'm glad you hear that because those are my inspirations, and there are plenty more inspirations as well.
Oh, no, totally, man. It's like, you know, I play a little bass, but I translate all of my creativity and expressions on the keyboard. But playing a little bass, man, I mean, you can't help but to gravitate to these guys, man, because for one, their signature style of playing is more of a soloist than more of a backup bass player with just, you know, your basic fingering, man. These guys really take their skills to another level. And I hear a lot of that in your own style of playing. But some newer contemporary grooves over it, man. The combination of the two together just can't be beat, so.
Man, thanks a lot, man. That's a concept that I was going for when I did this record. I wanted to take what they were doing because I grew up listening to that music and I grew up playing and, you know, just being inspired by those musicians. I grew up with it, so I just wanted to take it and bring it to my generation of, you know, new kind of urban kind of feel. And just, you know, do what I love, you know, from growing up listening to those other cats.
Right.
To just bring it to a more of a younger, urban, youth kind of feel. And that's the concept that I have behind, you know, the whole record, Urban Jazz. That's the whole concept. You know, playing jazz, but from an urban point of view. urban youth point of view, you know.
Right. No, that's what time it is, man, because me personally, that's, I mean, really, because that's how I thought of my interpretation of contemporary jazz when I wanted to get into it, man. You know, coming from an R&B and hip-hop background, growing up listening to it all, I was always influenced by the grooves of hip-hop and R&B. Teddy Riley was like my biggest inspiration as a producer and a keyboardist. You know, so for me, he's like all of my composition R&B is like, man, I got to have that heavy groove like Teddy, man. But sometimes when you work with R&B artists, they kind of want to box you into a box of your compositions. You know what I mean? So I didn't really get a chance to express myself as a player until I got out of the artist and really started focusing on my own composition. But from there, man, I was able to pull in the urban side of my R&B and hip-hop and doing the more solos of the jazz artists and keyboards of George Duke and them, man. But having that foundation, like say, of the urban side of music into jazz, man, that's just a killer combination. A lot of guys are starting to do it these days, definitely.
I've noticed that, man. Seriously, because that's why I did it, because I didn't hear a lot of it, and the little bit that I did, the first kind of urban jazz thing I heard was from this group called Unwrapped. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they put out a lot of urban music, but it was, you know, they had like Mike Phillips, Karen Briggs, Andrew Goucher, a lot of people playing it, you know. But it was like from an urban point of view, and I always said, man, it'd be kind of dope if I ever did a record from that type of style, but have it bass solo. Right. And I did it.
Wow.
You know.
You know, I got to ask you, Anthony, man, aside from Wayman Tisdale, Stanley and Victor, man, who were your other musical influences that really kind of gave you that inspiration to be a full-time musician and make this your retiring career?
Man, I have to say, my biggest inspiration is it has to be my father, my dad, because I actually, believe it or not, I started off as a drummer. I started playing drums at the age of 3. And so I used to go to my dad's concerts and his gigs and just sit beside the stage while he was playing and just imagine myself playing drums. You know, I would see him playing drums and I would just sit there and just, you know, just pretend like I was the one playing drums. And I was so into playing drums. And then I went to guitar, and then I went to piano, and bass was actually the last instrument I picked up, and I just like bass better. Bass just kind of felt natural to me. It just felt very natural. So, I asked my dad, I said, Dad, you know, how do you learn how to play bass? I said, look, I want to play bass. How do I learn how to play bass? And he said, well, all you have to do is just find people you like, listen to them, and just do it your way. So what I would do, that's all he told me. So what I would do, I would just put on tapes. Back then I had tapes. I would just put on tapes and not no MP3s. I would put on tapes of like different stuff. Like I was playing like a lot of rock and roll. I was playing like a lot of everything. And I would just play them and just learn what they were doing. You know, and I didn't look at it as practicing. I just looked at it, hey, I was just playing music because I just like the way, I just like playing bass. Not knowing I was really practicing. So that's how I came up. I came up, you know, from my dad telling me, hey, find out what you like, and you just do it, you know.
Right.
And that's what I did. Yeah, that's what I did. You know, I just put on music and just imitate what I liked and did it my way, whatever, you know.
You know, we share the same story, Anthony. We're both young musicians, man. I started track and recording when I was about 13, 14. And, you know, I can remember going back listening to covers. To me, I think covers, man, was the best school of music that I think anybody can just take up. For one, it takes a skill because a lot of people don't have the ear to play what they hear right away unless they have the sheet music in front of them. So, you know, just to have that ability to hear what we play and mimic that, man, in real time, that takes a skill in itself, man. And, you know, we're just surrounded by so many other great musicians that, you know, paved that way of, man, this is where you need to be as a seasoned musician, man. And, you know, those are the best teachers I felt, man. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you.
Yeah, man, covers brought me a long way. You know, me playing in cover bands and me just learning songs, that has brought me a long way. Because a lot of stuff I couldn't hear at first, but because I believe because of the fact that I did study a lot of people and I did, you know, do my homework with a lot of different music and stuff like that, it kind of opened up doors, because then I was like, okay, wow, I didn't know I can do this, but I did it when I was playing this song, so I'm going to take it somewhere else now, you know. Right. Covers has its advantages.
Well, it definitely has, man. I mean, look what it's done for you, man. You had a chance and opportunity to perform and record with some other seasoned musicians, man, like Justin Timberlake's and Kirk Whalum, the Peebo Brysons. Man, how has that impacted your chops and dynamic as a bass player, coming on stage with another band and just kind of blending into their style of music?
Man, it's a learning experience every time. Every time it's a learning experience. Out of those people you called, I think Kirk was like my biggest teacher. When I first met Kirk Whalum, I met Kirk, I was in Miami, actually about to get ready and do a cruise with Phil Perry. And Kirk was in line, and I started talking with Kirk, and Kirk was so cool. He was like, man, he was like, you're from Memphis? Because he's from Memphis also. So he was like, oh, man, he was like, look, man, I got to get you to come in my hotel room, and I'm going to, we're just going to play. And Kirk just started teaching me so much. And that was, and I just met him. He just started teaching me, like, all kinds of stuff. And, you know, we just kind of pulled out, like, sheet music. And he was helping me with my theory and everything. As if he was doing it as if I've known him, like, for a long time. But I just met him. So Kirk instantly, I guess he kind of saw something in me to make him want to, like, work with me and take out his time and start teaching me things. And then years later, I started working with him.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a different experience every time. Again, I might work with someone else. You know, they might not be as generous, but everybody, I guess everybody's different in their own way. But I love it when I work with artists that I admire and they take out their time to work with me and to help me grow as a musician.
Oh,
and
totally.
Kirk has done that.
Wow. You know, I mean, I always, you know, I refer to Star Wars a lot in my analogies, man, but, you know, it's just really no different, man, having that Obi-Wan Kenobi in your life, you know what I mean? You're a young Jedi, you know what I mean? You're coming up as a young Jedi, man. You're talking to these senior veterans like Kirk Whalum, man. It is, man, you can't help but to bring out your pen and pad, man, and just start taking notes, you know what I mean?
Man, I mean, that did something to me because when you meet people like that, you have like a preconceived notion like, okay, nah, they're not going to have time for this, man. They're not going to be worried. But you'd be surprised. Like, all you have to do sometimes is just, like, ask, man. You'd be surprised how giving some people are, you know, because he could have been like, oh, I don't have time, you know, whatever.
Sure.
But the fact that he took out his busy schedule to work with someone he didn't even know, you know, and helped them, you know, not only playing, but he helped me, like, as far as, like, my reading and theory stuff, and then actually called me to work with him, like on sessions, you know, when we did the movie and I did a few shows with him. You know, that's, I mean, what more can you ask for? I mean, you can't help but grow in a situation like that. You can't do nothing but grow.
No, I mean, he became your gateway to a whole new musical world, you know what I mean? With your theory, I'm sure your ear definitely developed being around him, you know what I mean? Just hearing things differently for arrangements. You know, like I tell a lot of young musicians, like, man, don't sleep on these old players. You feel that they don't have a younger style or a younger swag. Mm-hmm. These guys have 40 and 50 years of listening to music, man. Their ear is so seasoned to what's going. They choose not to do certain things because of personal preference, not because they can't play it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and there's a difference.
Definitely.
Man. You know, definitely. Like, you know, these are just chords and these progressions that we hear, man. This stuff is hundreds of years old. You know what I mean?
Nothing is you can reinvent the wheel, so to speak, but nothing is new. Like, everything has been done. It's probably been done differently on, like, some other kind of form of fashion, but seriously, I mean, this stuff has been, you know, music has always been music.
Right.
You know, that's the way I look at it. It's music has always been music.
Oh, totally. You know? But, man, you know, being around those seasoned veterans like you, Anthony, I mean, your bass players in your style of playing speaks for itself. And I also heard that, man, you were the most popular bass player at NoTrouble.com as a bass player website, man. Give me some details and how that endeavor came about.
Man, that happened kind of unexpectedly, man. What happened, they had NoTrouble.com it's a growing website of anybody that loves bass, anything bass related, anything. I mean, they have like thousands of subscribers. People go to this website every day. So the thing I like about the founder of this website, his name is Corey from Virginia. And the thing about Corey likes to help people. Corey wants to help people. You know, he wants to help people that's not known to be known. He wants to give bass players avenues to look at, you know, if they want to learn how to play, if they want, like, you know, to get some, like, some online lessons, if they want to look at anything based related, if they want to find anything, you know. So he came out with this feature on his website called Player Spotlight. And what the Player Spotlight is, they feature bass players, like, every Tuesday. And they do it all year round. They just feature different bass players every Tuesday. You know, it could be anybody. So I submitted my information, and he was like, okay, cool. We're going to feature you on this day. And so they featured me, and they featured me for a whole week. Anthony Crawford, you know, Anthony Crawford, this is who he is. This is his record. This is, these are his videos, such and such, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't know it, but then, you know, I was like, okay, cool. He put me on this spotlight feature. And this one, I just started to kind of like try to like come out, know my record and stuff, because no one has ever heard of me then. And he emailed me like a few months later. He was like, yeah, man, your player spotlight feature was the most popular of the whole year of 2009. And wow. I'm like, wow. And so they put me on their website as, you know, most popular bass player, you know, from the player spotlight feature. And so that right there alone was letting me know that, hey, I must be doing something right with this.
Wow.
because people are reading this, and people are looking at this, and people are listening, you know, and they're talking about it. And it generated that much publicity on their website till I was, you know, nominated as most popular, you know, bass player in a player spotlight feature.
Wow.
And that was a great honor for me. And that, I mean, that right there let me know that, hey, I can do this again. I can do it again.
That's right.
Yeah. And so it's more of a boost to me. It's more of a, you know, it's an accomplishment, but it's more of a, you know, boost for my confidence. Like, okay, I can keep going, you know.
Right. Well, man, just look at the numbers alone. I mean, there's millions and thousands and millions of bass players out there. And for one, it's an accomplishment to get recognized. It's another level of accomplishment is to get awarded. You know what I mean?
Best player. Yeah.
So you can nominate me all day. That's cool. I'm not ungrateful. But to actually win the prize, man, like you did, that says something right there. So.
Yeah, man, it's a blessing. You know what I mean? It's a blessing. That's all I can say.
Now, Anthony, man, you had an opportunity to release your first video as an instrumentalist, man. And what's cool to me, man, is like a lot of times as instrumentalists, man, we don't get the opportunities or the option to even think about producing a video for ourselves. You know, everyone's kind of just focused on the artist, and you know, if there's not a singer in front of us, it'll kind of just, you know, get pushed over, man. What really inspired you to create this video?
Man, this video actually, wow, I don't even know how to explain this. This video was a total, it was kind of totally, like, different for me. Very, very different. Because the video concept, I was actually, if you saw the video, you know that I'm acting, and I'm not an actor at all.
Right.
So that right there was out of our range itself, you know, bass player, now I'm acting. Like, but it was supposed to be another actor on it, but I guess he called in and he couldn't do it. So, and actually the people that produced the video for me, they actually called me and they said, well, Anthony, well, the main actor can't make it. And I was like, oh, okay, well, can, you know, y'all got to get somebody else. And I'm like, well, you know, this you. So we was kind of like back and forth. I'm like, nah, I don't want to act. That's not me. I want to just play. And they was like, well, you know what? You know, if you act, that's going to put you kind of like in another light as a front man, because, you know, not too many instrumentalists are doing it. And right. I'm like, well, I don't want to be the one that started. I was like, because I don't want to act. So they went ahead and talked to me, man, and they kind of like just convinced me to just try it. Like, they were like, man, listen, just try it. So I did it, and I had a lot of fun doing it. And so me doing a video, man, was like another life for me. And then, you know, when I put it up like on my website and everything, a lot of people responded. And, you know, I was shocked for, you know, about the response, you know, because it was, like I said, it was totally out of my ball game. You know, me, you know, taking a girl out and taking out on a picnic and, you know, I don't even do that for real.
Right.
Let alone have to do it. Yeah, but I mean, but it was to me, it was a great concept. I had fun doing it, and that was my first music video, and it was produced by my team of people, and they did a real good job with it. And I'm very honored of doing this video. So it on Vevo. Type in, if you type in Anthony Crawford, that's my video, and, feel free to check it out. It's a great video. I had a lot of fun doing it. Great concept. It's a great storyline behind it. Can I talk about the storyline also?
Yeah, definitely, man. I was going to tell you, man. Oh, okay. I personally liked the video. For one, I felt, for one, it was musical. And secondly, man, it, for me, this is the way I interpret it, man. I saw the focus you had with the music. You know what I mean? Is we see you writing, and I see you writing down your notes. And I don't know, man. I just felt it was really personable, a video for you to release, man. And it was just really cool. I think the audience, man, who sees you for the first time, gets a chance to really see who you are as a person. I know you don't date and take it off, man. But again, first impression is always a lasting impression, man. So it was definitely a positive one.
Yeah.
So.
But now that I think about it, I think the video did kind of describe me, because me, man, before I, like, really settled down, I used to, like, get women, I used to chase women, I'm talking about, I used to be, like, you know, everywhere, like, just, you know, just chase women, get numbers and stuff, so I think that video did tell the truth with that, and the video told the truth with me in my music, because, you know, when I was young, coming up, that's all I was about, you know, chasing girls and doing music, you know,
right.
So that video kind of did tell a true story, like, in a way. Like, it started off, you know, I'm in my room trying to come up with a song, and I can't write, so I go outside and talk on the phone. This pretty girl walks by, asks for directions, and I give her directions, and I was like, hey, you know, let me give you a call sometime, you know.
Right.
That's me, for real. That's me, for real. Yeah, and then I go back into my room, so I'm happy I got this girl number. So now I have inspiration to write this song. Now I have creativity now, because, you know, this girl, you know, gave me her number, and now, you know, I'm happy. I write the song, and when I finish writing, I'm still kind of inspired to do something else creative. So I go out and I create a romantic experience with this girl that I just met, you know, and take her out on a picnic, do something that a lot of men don't do.
Right.
You know?
No, man, you had it all planned out, man. Had the bubbly.
Yeah,
on the table.
Everything was planned out, man. Everything was planned out, man. So, you know, do the picnic. And then if you watch the video, you can see where I was performing the song with my band, mm-hmm. and it was kind of a cut scene between me performing the song and out with the girl having a good time, because the girl was the reason and the inspiration behind the song.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the concept we had with that video.
It was creative, man.
Yeah, it was very creative. So like I said, now that I did it, I'm like, I'm glad I did it. At first,
right.
You should have seen it. When they told me that the actor couldn't make it, because she was supposed to be out with another guy, and I was like, I don't want to do that, man. That's gay. I don't want to like be out with this. I don't want to be out taking this girl on the picnic and playing my bass. How are we going to tie that in together? But the production team, they did it. You know, they tied it in together, man, and they did an awesome job on it. And I'm actually glad that I starred in my own video, because, like I said, it took me from being an instrumentalist to a true front person in my music video.
Right.
You know,
you're an artist, man. You know what I mean? We're instrumentals, but, man, as soon as you get up there as performing, you become an artist.
So that's the thing, man. That's the thing about this. That is what I'm talking. I've always knew that, but it's like when you're on this road of creating things, it's like you never know where this world is going to take you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You never know. You know, you're always creating music, but you never know. You know. Your music might lead to something else, and that right there might lead to something else. It's like you got to be ready. You have to be open as well. You can't be closed. You have to be open to new ideas, new ventures, new things.
You do. And that's hard for people. And it's like, man, we all get in our comfort zone. I don't care where you are in your career. Everyone gets that settled. Like, nah, I'm going to stay right here because we're performing at optimum levels and we're always doing a fantastic job doing our own thing. Mm-hmm. But the cool stuff is outside the comfort zone. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
I had no idea that was going to turn out that way. So, yeah, it sounds like you're definitely open to some new ideas. So,
yeah,
that's
I'm
what's happening.
Definitely open to ideas now. I mean, especially since I did that, because that just opened my eyes. Like, wow, I'm doing more than what I thought. I never think that I'd be doing it. You know?
Right.
Yeah, man.
Next thing you know, man, you'd be directing your own and directing other people's videos and putting it together, man.
Yeah, you never know. Go from bass player to music video director.
Oh, man. Let me start, man. I got ideas going already, so.
Oh man, that's crazy, man. That's what it's about, man. Us like giving each other energy and ideas, man, because we're both creators. Anybody that's create anything, man, like, you know, that's what the world needs. You know, the world needs creativity. You know, right. People create things. Right. You know. And that's what we need, man. Creators, man. Movers and creators.
You know, that's true, though. But that's, you know, the fun part is to be able to collaborate with other great creators. You know what I mean? I always say, man.
Oh, yeah, that's even better.
You know, they say great minds think alike, man. So.
Yeah, that's even better. That's totally even better. Right. I love collaborating with people and working with people. Right. Actually, I work easier when I work with other people sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it takes the stress off of you. You know what I mean? If you're a one-man show, you know, as producers, man, most of the time we're a one-man show. You know what I mean? So all of the creativity and decision-making is really focused on us, you know. But sometimes, man, it's nice to step outside the man in charge and be a team player and help out the team, too, you know. I definitely agree with you. What do you do, Anthony, to create your chops? I mean, because you don't mimic people. I will say that. You don't mimic any bass players. There's little taste and different chops from different players, but I can't say you're a replica of something else, man. So where are you pulling your chops from, man? Because your timing, for one, you know, and your fingering with your triplets that you play, man, that's really a signature that I've been peeping out that you do a lot, man. I mean, how did and why are you doing it that way? Explain that to me.
Oh, well how I develop my chops is completely, it's, I would say me developing my chops is the same way that I guess it's like how can I put this in words, man? It's like I'm always trying to create things. It's like I might hear something in my head, but I might not even know how to do it, but it just may sound cool to me in my head. So I would actually sit down and figure out how can I do this, or how can I mimic what I'm hearing in my head, you know. And the more out there it is in my head, the more I want to do it, you know, because it's like it's always a challenge for me to. It's easy for me to hear someone else and do it and not do it, but it's more of a challenge for me to not hear no one else do it, and it's like I come up with this idea and I create it, you know, from my idea. And then when I do that, what happens is it just shows me that I am coming up with my own style and I'm coming up with my own signature feel, because I'm not hearing no one else do it, you know, and I'm coming up with this my own way. So, I mean, pretty much what I do is I sit down and just play.
Right.
That's how I come up with my sound. You know, I sit down and I just play. And sometimes it might not make any sense, but I might, you know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I know what I'm trying to do. It might not come out the way I hear it, but I just play, you know.
Right.
That's how I come up with my style, with my chops, my feel. My, you know, my triplet thing, I guess what you call it.
Yeah.
a lot of my tapping stuff is like very heavily heavy, like Victor Rudin kind of influence. But even that, it's heavily influenced by Victor, but I still try to find a way to make it my own as well. You know, I want to be, you know, that's my goal. You know, everything I do, I want it to be my own.
Right. Well, you know, your production changes. I mean, that's where I think it sets apart, too, is the production that you have on top of your solos. It's really that separates you from everybody.
Just come from that comes from my imagination. That comes from me. That comes from me always, like, in the mode of creativity. You know, I'm always trying to create something. You know, some people, I've had all kinds of, you know, people opinions, you know, about my music and stuff like that. You know, because of the fact that it's unique. A lot of people are not used to it, so a lot of people, you know, are kind of afraid of it because they never heard it.
Right.
But then there are a lot of people out there that respect uniqueness. There are people out there that are hungry for creativity. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a point of being creative, because as a musician, you have to be creative. You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's just my philosophy. You know, if I'm going to be a musician, I'm an artist, and artists create things.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't really want to use the term. I mean, I don't consider myself like artist, like, but what you, I mean, if you think about it, you know, musicians, they're artists, like painters. You know, we're painting the picture. Well, in other words, you know, we're painting pictures without music.
That's right.
You know, yeah. So, and this is my thing. You know, I have my vision, and I have my vision of what I think, you know, good music you know, is or what good music can be. So I paint my picture with my production and my plan, and hope that people, you know, will gravitate towards it and understand what I'm doing. And, you know, thankfully people have been gravitating towards it and understanding what I've been doing.
Oh, yeah. You know. Now, I got to ask you, man, for recording your bass, Anthony, is there any specific signal chains that you like to have before you actually hit the recorder? Any preamps or amps that you're using? Or
I am trying to figure this out still to this day, man. I'm glad you told me about that, those cables, because right now all I'm using, I just use this preamp. It's called a DBX. It's like a tube preamp, and I just plug into my inbox. That's all I use.
Okay.
You know. Yeah, because to this day, I'm still trying to figure out what kind of, you know, preamps that I can get that's kind of cool. I'm trying to figure out what kind of DI boxes. But right now, I just use this, it's called a DBX 2 preamp, like a mic pre, whatever.
Sure.
And I just plug straight into my inbox. And to me, the sound is good, you know, but I'm always critiquing myself. I'm always saying to myself, man, this sound's going to be a whole lot better.
Right, right.
Because I listen to other kids. I'm like, I didn't get this sound.
Right.
I'm like, man, I didn't get this sound. I'm like, I need to figure out something quick.
Yeah, no, man, there's a lot of guys out there, man. I interviewed Nathan East. I talked to Victor Wooten, Michael Manson, Larry Graham. I mean, all four of those guys use something totally different. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, really? Yeah.
Yeah, man. So I think it's really your ear. You know what I mean? Your bass players, your bass tonality sounds great to me. You know what I mean? And a lot of it's just different colors from different pre's going to give you a different color, different feel. Maybe you want something with a beefier bottom in, or maybe you want something a little bit higher. So, yeah, man, you know how this is, trial and error.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely trial and error for me, because I've did all kinds of stuff. I've recorded bass, and all the thing you hear is like hum, and man, I did all that, and I'm still trying to figure out some cool little, I guess, recording techniques to use for different sounds. But hey, anybody listen, I'm open for suggestions. I'm open for suggestions, for real.
Now, you mentioned you're recording using an inbox. Are you using Pro Tools, or are you using another DAW to record in?
Pro Tools. I have the inbox too.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so for my production, all I use is an inbox, and I use Reasons.
Okay.
Reasons for, like, you know, my MIDI stuff, and I use the inbox for the audio, and that's all I use. And I, you know, I just make sure I get it. You know, I have a real good engineer, you know, that mixes my stuff. So, and that's pretty much all. It's pretty much all I use, you know. And if I record something big, I just go to like a bigger studio, you know, record drums or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, but for the most part, I just use the inbox and Reasons. That's all I use.
Well, with the keyboard stuff that I hear, are you laying your keys? Do you have other producers and keyboards coming and lay the keys for you?
Yeah, I have other producers. Yeah, I play little keys, but I don't want to play keys on my music. I don't know. I'm already picky about my bass playing, and I am a bass player, so you can. No, I'm not gonna play keys. Yeah, I know how to get the idea across. So if I play something, I know how to. You know, I'm like, okay, this is what I want, so just, you know, make it better. Right. That's how I am. Yeah,
man,
but I use different. You say what now?
Well, that's all it is about, man. You know, it's like, man, I don't play keys, but if you guys can get their basic idea of what I'm trying to do as a bass player, you know, you can pick up from there. As long as you give them a good guy, man, that usually works for most keyboarders.
Yeah. I've been real fortunate to have some real good keyboard players to help me with this project. Because actually, the producers that I have used on this project are producers based in Memphis. One guy named is Marquis Walker, and he's a very talented producer, very talented keyboardist. And this other guy I use, his name is Jonathan Richmond. And pretty much what I've done, we just exchanged files and stuff, you know, over the internet. You know, I'm out here in LA and they're in Memphis, so I just, like, you know, we just switch files. You know, that's pretty much how I did it.
Oh, man. No, working virtually, that was a long time waiting for me. You know, I've been one of the guys since around 98, 99, looking for a way to work virtually with people I couldn't get in contact with. Man, I'm in Minneapolis, and, you know, work with somebody out in L.A., man, that's a lot of flying back and forth. You know, start hitting the plane, now we fly our files back and forth through the email, man, and it just works seamlessly, and it's just keeps you working, keeps you busy. So, no, that's
the
best thing since sliced bread, man.
Yeah, I think lately I didn't really come on to the to the production scene until after the internet.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I don't even know what that's even like.
Oh, my God, man.
I got it made. I got some spoilers. I don't even know how to do it. I got it.
Oh, man, let me tell you, dude. I've been tracking since, Lauren, 88, 89, and I was on a reel-to-reel working with DAP machines and ADATs. Man, I was pretty much there with all the...
Right, I don't even know what that is, man. I don't even know. All I know is my laptop and my inbox. I never even turned on a DAP machine.
Oh, wow, man. It's Stone Age stuff, man, but it was the best thing that we had at the time for digital audio tape, you know, before all the systems came in. So, yeah, just another format of, you know, bouncing your master mix down. Before you master it, you'll take all your files, play it to them, record it to a DAT machine, usually send your DAT off to the mastering suite, you know, so they can mix it. But, yeah, man, it's Stone Age for sure.
I'm complaining because, you know, like something like I lose a file or something, or a drum track.
Oh, wow. I'm man.
Complaining over the small stuff.
Yeah, man. If it's in the DAW system, that's a small world, man. You get to the analog, man. I've had some major headaches and troubles over the years, but... Man, when DAW came in and took over, it was just, you know, like I said, it was a breath of fresh air. Man, you're already on the format, so, you know, you're already seasoned and enough to, you know, run it on your own. So, no, that's great.
yeah, definitely, man, definitely.
Now, I got to ask you, Anthony, finding your zone as a musician, you know, you have both experience on stage and studio. Where do you feel that you find that creativity edge, man, where you feel comfortable and nothing but magic's going to happen? Is it in the studio where the environment's more controlled, or is it on stage where you get a chance to feed off the audience's energy and also flow off your band members?
It's usually on stage for me. Usually when I'm in the studio, I'm so busy trying to get everything right and critique myself. And sometimes it's like, wow, I'm like, man, I would rather record this on stage. Because, I don't know, like, sometimes when I'm in a studio, I think differently. I think different.
Right.
Like, I don't know. But when I'm on stage, I've done this plenty of times. I will literally, like, leave the stage. Not physically, but, like, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, I don't know. But I believe, like, in the power of the mind. So sometimes I will literally, like, just leave my mind and, like, just be gone. And then I will come back and folks will be blown away. And me, I don't even know what happened.
Yeah.
I've been there like a lot of times. Like I would literally be playing or doing my thing, and I would sort of kind of black out, so to speak, and not even because I'm so caught up into what I'm doing, I don't even see what else is going on around me.
Right.
And those be the times I'm like, wow, I wish I was recording, or man, I wish, you know. But it's like when I'm in the studio, it's not that kind of energy. You know, it's something. It's a totally different ball game. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I get most of my creativity on stage. You know, from the people. When I feed off people, when I feed off the band. You know, I get. You know, when I feed off, it could be like one person in the audience that's like really grooving, and if I focus my attention to that one person, that right there would just help me take my bass playing somewhere else because that one person is giving me energy. You know what I mean?
That's right. That zone, man.
With me.
No, man, that zone is a special place. You know, I talk about it a lot, and I ask all my guests that question, man. Just it's so special that I think every musician has to experience that, you know, every chance they should get on stage. You know what I mean? Depending how the mood is and how the audience is, man. But like you say, man, you get in that zone where it's like, man, I don't even know I'm on stage. I'm just letting the groove take me where it's supposed to take me.
Man, know? it's a great feeling, man. Like it's amazing. Like I'm serious, but. Dude, I don't even know how to say a word for it, but literally, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Like,
totally.
You could be playing and then you would just black out. And when you come back to reality, like, you're like, no, what just happened?
Right.
Like, what just happened?
Yeah.
I've been there a few times, and those are my best creativity moments.
It is,
when I'm on stage.
And you can't replicate that. You know, and you could never go back and, you know.
No, you can't do it. That's the thing. You can't.
All right.
You can't, man.
It's like, if you didn't capture that on tape, that's a wrap.
Man, that's a wrap. And then this one, you can put it on Facebook. If y'all wasn't at the show, y'all don't know what y'all missed. Come to the next one.
I know, that's right, man.
this when you put it on Facebook and MySpace. Well, people not on MySpace, well, Twitter. Man, yeah. But, you know, live is my best thing. Live, playing live is the best for me.
Man, that's what's happening. So, Anthony, yeah, what's on the musical agenda for 2011, man? What do we have in store?
Well, right now I'm working on the next Urban Jazz project. I'm trying to think if I'm going to call it Urban Jazz Volume 2 or am I going to call it like something else. I like the Urban Jazz concept I have. But I'm working on another project. I'm not going to say too much about it, but it's in the works, you know, and I have a lot of great things happening on this next project. I've let a couple of my producers listen to a couple of things, and I told them the direction that I wanted to go. I still want the Urban Jazz concept that I have on my old record, but I want to take it a step up. You know, I want to take it a level up. I don't want to stay in the same place, but I want to mature, so to speak, in my music and in my recording.
That's right.
And then when they heard it, they were like, Anthony, man, you're doing more than taking this a step up, man. You're taking this, man, a lot. I got a lot of good reviews from it. So, I mean, we'll see, you know, after I put it out and everything, we'll see how it does. But, you know, I've got a lot of positive reviews from the demo stuff. So, well, that's the main focus on the agenda for 2011. Other side projects I have, I'm doing, you know, more stuff with Karen Briggs. I just got finished doing some bass work for Alan Holdsworth. He's a jazz legend, jazz guitarist legend. I got some stuff overseas with this drummer. He's by the name of Virgil Donati. And we're doing some stuff in India this coming up summer with this person. He's a film composer. He do a lot of films out there, film work out there. And he also brings in a lot of jazz acts out there. He brought in Frank Gambale, Cab. He brought in a lot of John Scofield. He brought in Scott Henderson. And so he's bringing, you know, my band out there. So I'm looking forward to that. There's a lot of things in the work, you know, but my main focus is getting this record out. The second record. Yeah.
No, that sounds hot, man. You got some hot stuff in the fire, man. That's for sure.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, man. You know, I'm just hoping for the best. You know, that's why I'm working hard right now. And thanks to people like you, man, that's helping me get the word out, man. I mean, dude, you just don't know how much this means to me right now, man.
Oh, man. Honestly, man, the honor is mine, man. You know what I mean? Like I say, it's, you know, I created a platform for myself in the beginning, and, you know, I just wanted to have a way to communicate with all the musicians who I admire, who I'm a fan of, and guys who I grew up listening over the years, man. And you know, it's a learning experience and a sharing experience at the same time, man. So no, man, it's the pleasure's all mine, believe me.
yeah, thanks a lot, man. But it's, you know, it's a lot of positive things coming up this year, so like I said, just wait and see what happens.
That's what's hot, man. Well, Anthony, man, it's been a true pleasure having you on my show. You have a safe 2011, brother. Man, we'll keep in touch.
Okay, thanks a lot, man.
All right, take it easy. And a big shout out and thank you to Anthony Crawford for coming on the show and chopping it up with me. Another great show with another great musician. Anthony Crawford, the dude is such a phenomenal bass player, man. His music really speaks for itself. He's had tons of experience performing and recording with other great seasoned musicians out there, man. And, you know, it's just a true pleasure for me having him on my show and having him share those experiences with me. So, again, shout out to Anthony Crawford. And to check on Anthony Crawford, you need to hit up his website at www.anthonycrawfordband.com. www.anthonycrawfordband.com. And once you hit the website, there's links to follow him on Facebook, Twitter, his YouTube channel, Reverb Nation, MySpace. It's all there, so check it out and hit him up. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit my website up at www.sputtootight.com. www.sputtootight.com. And I'm also available on iTunes as a podcast. So if you have a Mac, a PC, an iPhone, or an iPad, or an iPod, open up the iTunes store, type in the Producer's Corner with Spot Too Tight, and click in the image, and you'll have a list of my past and current reviews as well. And to close out the show, I'm going to let the track that's playing in the background close out the show. And the track is by Anthony Crawford, and the title of the track is called Satisfied. So I want to thank everybody for tuning and listening in. Until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.
Yeah.